AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. His bid for re-election over, President Biden takes to the nation's airwaves tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Writing on X, he'll speak about what lies ahead and how he'll finish the job for the American people. The president announced Sunday he would not continue his re-election campaign and was endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. He spoke to his former campaign staff by phone Monday and told them he wasn't going anywhere.
I've got 6 months left of my presidency. I'm determined to get as much done as I possibly can, both foreign policy and domestic policy.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
In custody in Britain, a 24-year-old man accused of stabbing and seriously wounding a Royal Army officer on a street near a barracks 30 miles southeast of London. The officer airlifted to a hospital. A Nepalese Sarya Airlines jetliner slid off a runway and crashed while trying to take off from the airport at Kathmandu. 18 people aboard killed, the pilot the sole survivor. This is ABC News. Whoever wins the presidency in November, both candidates are now officially behind schedule when it comes to preparing to actually run the government.
While Kamala Harris and Donald Trump might be laser focused on winning this November, experts say there's another date that they need to keep in mind. It's January 20th, when one of them will become the boss of some 4.5 million federal workers. According to the nonpartisan group Partnership for Public Service, both candidates are actually now well behind schedule when it comes to preparing to run the government. The group says both candidates need to set up a transition team, hash out an ethics policy, and decide who gets a security clearance. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
The Nazis have discovered Nashville. For weeks, the neo-Nazis have been live-streaming anti-Semitic antics in Music City, waving swastika flags through the crowded streets, singing hate songs on downtown courthouse steps and such, sparking hard questions about why Nashville is attracting the Nazis and what, if anything, can help stop them. I'm Richard Cantu. ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Mino and the Mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
The whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting, but
no, yeah. I know, but you know what I mean? Well, that's just the
okay.
But I say the accountant.
Todd
it's
would
like,
be
that
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side, okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'll take the east side.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's cubes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Batons.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Matt Gable, general manager of the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay, and comedian Jake Snell joins me to discuss the upcoming Madison Comedy Week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. High of 76 this afternoon. Clear tonight, 57. Tomorrow, sunny, 80. By Friday, sunshine, 83. It's going to get a lot warmer and a lot more humid by the weekend, with highs in the mid to upper 80s on Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us for a hump day edition. Next time on the show, our old friend Pat Kreitlow from Up North News and much more. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hump day!
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we try to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, for example, we're going to be hearing about science, technology, engineering, and math. Now, while you did not hear agriculture in that lineup, if you come from a farm, you know that agriculture includes all of those things. And this year, the rest of the state will find out that as well at the Wisconsin Science Festival. We'll dig more into that in just a little bit. Weather-wise, it may be a little cloudy today, but it's going to be staying pretty warm the next few days. And the big highlight here, it will be dry. So be sure to get outside while you can. We're looking at mid to high 80-degree temps here in Madison and throughout the state. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will have those weather details on the way. Plus, we'll get an update on the new farm rescue program that officially began in Wisconsin on July 1st. All of those details are yet to come.
The old world staples, they stay, but there's new flavors on the way. That's the theme at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here reminding you their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Skip the store. Go to Bavaria Sausage. You can shop anytime online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, BavariaSausage.com. I was talking with Scott about some of the new flavors they've got in their test kitchen right now. One that's been a success and will become a staple, the Berkshire Brat. Scott said that he's going to give people an opportunity to actually visit with the farmers that he's working with to produce those Berkshire Brats. And right now they're taking a look at other new flavors. Best thing you can do, check back their social media pages, Facebook, for example, find out about updates, or better yet, stop in the store and ask the staff for samples. Again, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage.
Hey, Wisconsin, this year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.org to sign up to help today. If you're familiar with the acronym STEM, you know it stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And while you did not hear agriculture in that lineup, if you come from the farm, you know that agriculture includes all of those things. And this year, the rest of the state will find that out as well. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, excited to announce that the upcoming Wisconsin Science Festival, October 14th through the 20th, is all about agriculture this year. Samantha Mulrooney joins us in studio. She's the Wisconsin Science Festival director. Samantha, this is the first time in 14 years that agriculture has been the overarching theme. How did you decide to zero in on this industry?
I mean, it is such an impactful part of our state's economy and our state's story. So it seemed like a natural fit for this year. And agriculture has been involved in a lot of our science festival events over the years, but this is the first time we're featuring really as a way to honor all of the great things that are happening in our state and all of the growers and all of the technology that is involved in that. A lot of times people don't really understand how the food gets to the grocery store, right? And being able to take a little bit of effort during the festival this year to highlight that and promote that is what we're trying to do.
And again, it's really a statewide effort because you guys are now in more than 50 counties, but it didn't start that way, right? Tell us a little history on the Wisconsin Science Festival and how much it's grown over the years.
Yeah, for sure. So our science festival started back in 2011, primarily in Madison and Dane County areas. And right around the third or fourth year of the festival, it really started to blossom into what it is now. So we had events at about 150 different venues throughout the state last year, and about 500 different event occurrences. And that is children's museums, nature centers, school districts, libraries are a big part of our festival, all hosting events during the week of our festival. And that number has just continued to grow as the festival kind of expands its footprint. And the feature every year is a large part of that. So we help bring in more partners and stakeholders throughout the state to get involved in our festival based on the feature. And agriculture is no different.
And it literally draws thousands of people across the state. Give me a sense of the reach of this event.
Sure. Yeah. So in Madison, our Science Festival team helps coordinate a few key events, hands-on expo style events, Science on the Square, which is the big one downtown Madison. We had over 12,000 people come to that event last year on a rainy October evening. But throughout the state, because of all of our statewide event hosts, we've reached over 40,000 people during the week of our festival. And again, those are very different types of events that are happening all throughout the state. It's pub talks at breweries, it's stargazing parties, it's, birding opportunities at nature centers. So something for everybody during the week of our festival.
Everybody, because if you were listening, you heard beer, you heard downtown Madison in the evening hour. So this isn't just an event geared towards children. This is for everyone.
Correct. Yeah, that is, I mean, science is for everyone. You're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach, right? So I think this is just a way to embrace that and to get everybody in Wisconsin excited about STEAM. So everything, science, technology, art, you name it, during the festival.
And now agriculture.
And now agriculture, for sure. Yeah, that's a big part of it. I think you summarized it perfectly. That's involved in all of what we do.
Sam, I also wanted to ask you what you foresee some of these agricultural events to look like. Maybe personally, you're looking to learn something about agriculture during Wisconsin Science Festival in October, or, you know, what you hope others will learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is really so much to learn. And I mean, that's part of why we chose the agriculture feature, is it is so broad and there are so many different angles and ways to think about agriculture in our state. So I think I'm personally fascinated to learn as much as I can about the process of the technology and the newer, more modern approach to agriculture, and the different stories and the different perspectives that are involved in agriculture in our state.
And if this is speaking to you, if you are thinking, hey, I have a story to tell about science on my farm or within my organization, there's a place to go to get involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our website is a great resource. Our contact information is on there. So we are always looking for more statewide event hosts to participate and to welcome the community or school groups into their world of either agriculture or just science and technology in general. So it doesn't necessarily have to involve agriculture, although it is pretty pervasive. So we know there's a good chance that it might. But yeah, our website is a good place to help either learn more about the festival or connect to us to share event and program details.
So WISIFest.org, as you've started planning for the Wisconsin Science Festival with the agriculture theme, you know, what has the response been like from the people that you've been reaching out to so far among the agriculture community? How have they responded?
I think that's one of the best parts of my job, is just getting to interact with all of the different folks throughout the state. And my resounding answer to that would be it has been an amazing response. The folks that we are getting to meet and chat with and talk more about what the Science Festival is all about have been eager and all in and incredibly passionate about education of agriculture throughout our state. So I think that it's very validating when you choose a feature for a statewide festival, what might resonate. And I think the answer is clear to us this year.
Do you expect to grow into maybe counties that you haven't been reaching before now that you are including agriculture?
Yeah, absolutely. I think last year was the highest number of counties that we've had involved during the festival. So every year we try and surpass that goal. So I think, you know, there's 72 counties throughout Wisconsin and there's people living in all of them. So I think there's a hope to reach all 72 counties, and agriculture is a great way to do that as well. I mean, there's so many different stories and family farms and other locations throughout Wisconsin that we can highlight to help reach that goal.
And if folks do visit WISIFest.org, when is the preferred date you'd like to know if they'd like to host by?
Sure, yeah. So in general, we aim for August 1st to know general event details and program details just so we can help distribute some of our logistical information about the festival. We do encourage folks, even leading up to the festival, to still give us their event details that we can include in the larger festival. I mean, we have an interactive map that each location, each festival event gets their own little dot on the map, if you will, that can help promote their event. So folks throughout the state, attendees, participants can zoom in on their area or other areas that they might be interested in visiting to learn more about what's happening in their neck of the woods.
You are providing a service to your community by educating folks about the science and agriculture, but in return, you're also getting some visibility through the Wisconsin Science Festival.
Absolutely, yes, as part of the larger whole. And, you know, the Science Festival has been going on for 14 years, so continually keeps building this family and this reach throughout our state and has the voices of a lot of key stakeholders throughout our state as well. So it's pretty straightforward. If anybody is interested in hosting an event during the festival, we have an intake form on our website that helps share times and registration information or details. It's really up to the event site as far as what that event or program needs to look like to help fit within their parameters and their boundaries. And we're open to all sorts of types of formats of events and age ranges. And I would say about 80% of our events are free of charge. Most are open to the public, but that is not a requirement. We have certain sites that do require a minimal admission and things like that. We try and inspire as many events to be as inclusive as possible and as accessible as possible. But, you know, we don't discourage others that are interested in getting involved either. So sharing those event details with us via our website or reaching out to us, and ideally by August 1st, if we can. And it doesn't cost anything to be a event host. We just like to highlight and showcase the amazing expertise that is throughout our state.
Samantha Mulrooney along with us, director of the Wisconsin Science Festival. This is a statewide celebration of the sciences, and this year the showcase is on Wisconsin agriculture. The festival is October 14th through the 20th, with events happening around the state. If you'd like to showcase the science that you do on your farm or agribusiness, reach out to Samantha Mulrooney through wiscifest.org. Again, preferably before August 1st. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at wiscaregivercdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations! Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday for a special Hump Day edition of the Devil's Habits. We'll preview Joe Biden's speech to the nation and we'll host Angela Lang, Tune In Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Today's rain, and even more happy that even though we may have some clouds, we should be clear of rain for a while. And speaking of that weather, it's time for our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Compere Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. You can learn more about them and find a location near you at compere.com. So speaking of that weather, we have our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, joining us to shed some light on what's coming our way. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's get ready to unravel the mysteries of Mother Nature. Which, Stu, before we get into the weather forecast, I've always wondered, the old saying, pink at night, sailor's delight, pink in the morning, sailor's warning. Is there really any scientific basis behind it on your end?
There is. It makes perfect sense. I mean, Charity, it actually comes out of the Bible in Matthew. Believe it or not, that's where it started. Most of us know it as red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. The red sky normally means the effects of high pressure, and it captures dust particles and the like and diffracts the blue light from the sun as it's rising or setting. So if the red sky is in the west at night, it means high pressure is approaching. If it's in the east in the morning, it unfortunately means the high pressure is moving away, and most likely we've got a change coming in from the west. That's about what it means. Could be some changes. Today, the change is off to the south. The cool front that dropped through yesterday and brought rain down south of Wisconsin, rain around north central to east central parts of Iowa, and out over southern Lake Michigan, heading towards southern lower Michigan. We did have some sizable rains here and there. I see Mauston about 6,500ths of an inch, Madison at 8/10ths of an inch, Elkhorn an inch and 2/10ths, about 1/10th of an inch in the Fond du Lac area, Trace at West Bend. But that front's moving through. We're going to start to dry it out a little bit today. Some sunshine and nicer weather in store, even as we head through the rest of the week and toward the weekend. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compere Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compere.com today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Well, all righty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, Charity, you may find a little patchy fog here or there, but otherwise our Compere Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for more sun to break through today. Clouds may linger a bit in the east and south, more sun in the west and north, and we find our way into the upper 70s. The north winds at 5. A little fog may redevelop late tonight, otherwise a partly cloudy night or clearing out. Down into the upper 50s, the northeast winds at 5. More sun on Thursday, upper 70s, maybe an 80 here and there with an east breeze. Sunny on Friday, low 80s, warming up. Winds becoming south at about 5, mid 80s Saturday, and by late Sunday into Monday, there may be a small chance of a shower or thunderstorm, Charity.
Well, I guess I'll get outside while I can, at least. You got any big plans?
Oh, I think we're getting the threshing oats cut on Friday afternoon. There's a plan.
Well, that's good. At least you've got a plan to make advantage of this weather. Once again, everybody, that is Stu Muck. He is our ag meteorologist with our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update here on a Wednesday.
Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can learn more about them and find a location near you at compeer.com. Make sure you stick around with me on this Wednesday morning, as you never know what you'll quite learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. At the Republican National Convention, Senator Ted Cruz claimed that Democrats tolerated illegal immigration so non-citizens would fraudulently vote. Such claims might rile up the GOP base, but they're patently false. The narrative of voting by non-citizen immigrants has been around for years, but pushed recently by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell. Mitchell alleges that because states issue driver's licenses to non-citizens and IDs are required to vote, this translates to massive voter fraud. It's not true. Non-citizen voting for state and federal elections has been illegal since the early 1900s. To register in almost all states, a birth certificate, naturalization certificate, or passport is required, and non-citizens registering are subject to fines, prison, or deportation. The Brennan Center for Justice recently wrote, "Would you risk everything, your freedom, your life in the United States, your ability to be near your family, just to cast a single ballot?" The Brennan Center's 2016 research of 42 jurisdictions which processed 23.5 million votes found only 30 suspected cases. And investigations typically find clerical mistakes responsible, not intentional fraud. A study review by the conservative Cato Institute concluded there is no good evidence that non-citizens voted illegally in large enough numbers to actually shift the outcome of elections. We've linked the research at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. His bid for re-election over, President Biden takes to the nation's airwaves tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Writing on X, he'll speak about what lies ahead and how he'll finish the job for the American people. The president announced Sunday he would not continue his re-election campaign and was endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. He spoke to his former campaign staff by phone Monday and told them he wasn't going anywhere.
I've got 6 months left in my presidency. I'm determined to get as much done as I possibly can, both foreign policy and domestic policy.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
In custody in Britain, a 24-year-old man accused of stabbing and seriously wounding a Royal Army officer on a street near a barracks 30 miles southeast of London. The officer airlifted to a hospital. A Nepalese Sarya Airlines jetliner slid off a runway and crashed while trying to take off from the airport at Kathmandu. 18 people aboard killed, the pilot the sole survivor. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris says she's running a people-powered campaign to beat Donald Trump. Harris visited Milwaukee Tuesday to launch her presidential campaign, only 2 days after Joe Biden dropped out of the race.
So, friends, we have 105 days until Election Day, and in that time, we've got some work to do. But we're not afraid of hard work. We like hard work, don't we? And we will win this election.
Harris has already raised over $100,000 for her campaign since Sunday afternoon.
The plane that crashed and killed two people near the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh was privately owned and not a part of the air show. The cause of the crash on Monday is still under investigation, and the names of the deceased have not been released. Last year at Air Venture, two people died and two were injured in a mid-air collision during the air show. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
A rainy day in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Day two of the Packers training camp turned into a washout.
Christ, I'm running for cover.
Heavy rains falling on fans and players, but head coach Matt LaFleur kept them out there, despite it being nearly impossible for some of the receivers to catch the football, like Dontavian Wicks, who was asked about the forecast.
It was supposed to rain like 7 this morning, but we wasn't supposed to have rain at practice.
Fun?
Yeah, it's always fun to be in the rain, but, you know, get a little advantage to the defense sometime.
Still nothing new on the Jordan Love deal. Baseball, the Brewers' Colin Ray pitched 5 scoreless innings on the way to a 1-0 shutout of the Cubs in Chicago after they got off to a late start because of rain. The Brewers' Christian Yelich, who's been dealing with a sore back, had to leave the game in pain in the 6th inning. Manager Pat Murphy asked what he thought watching Yelly head for the dugout.
My thoughts. Those are my thoughts.
That's Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Wednesday morning, I'll talk with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, about President Biden's announcement and the campaign of Vice President Kamala Harris.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy today. High of 76 this afternoon. Clear tonight, 57. Tomorrow, sunny, 80. By Friday, sunshine, 83. It's going to get a lot warmer and a lot more humid by the weekend, with highs in the mid to upper 80s on Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to highlight an organization called Museums for All, which makes it possible for folks who get food assistance to get free or reduced admission to more than 1,300 museums across the U.S. I remember the leaner years when my kiddo was little and the cost of going to museums felt, you know, like a real splurge, especially when childcare cost more than my rent at the time. And I loved children's museums because they were like places for my kid to play, she could learn, and I could maybe catch a mom minute, you know, where I could take a breath while my kiddo was occupied. I love the Museums for All program because they make that free or more affordable for lots of families. You can visit their site, museumsforall.org. That's the word museums, the number 4, the word all.org, for more details, and you can search their list of participating institutions. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there, those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it. I
yeah,
want
I
it back.
In Todd. The winter, the birds use it as a little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
We've all probably experienced major illness, injury, or natural disaster at some point in our lives. And looking back, it's who's around us in those times of need that I think stands out the most. And now, farm families who are experiencing this can receive assistance to get back on their feet. This is all thanks to a nonprofit organization called Farm Rescue. Dan Erdman, Marketing Program Manager, will tell us more about that in just a little bit, so stick around. But welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm happy to report, though, that after the recent rainfall, we'll be back to some sunshine and mid to high 80s for the next few days. So if you're looking for something to do during these sunny days, why not visit a county fair near you? The Columbia County Fair, Dunn County Fair, Eau Claire County Fair, Monroe County Fair, Racine County Fair, Rock County Fair, and the Washington County Fair are all happening now. These are a great way to enjoy the day and learn all about how agriculture impacts our daily lives. You can see a full list of all of the fairs happening throughout the summer at wifairs.com.
It's Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. You know that website, don't you? Newly revamped, as a matter of fact. That's STEFFES group.com. You want to talk to them, get an auction set up, or maybe you've got questions about something, go ahead and give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hoon from the Steffes Group along with us on this Wednesday. Let's talk a little bit about some of the specialty items that you've got coming up, Ashley. People want to understand, you guys aren't a one-trick pony. It's not like it's just all straight-out tractors, combines, and field equipment. You work with some specialty crops and their equipment as well.
Yeah, we truly do. Many years ago, we did a couple retirements for some manure pumping guys, and, you know, we saw the need out there, so that kind of morphed into doing two consignment sales a year that are strictly manure pumping and handling auctions. But in between that, of course, if you want to do your one auction on your own, that always does better. So we've got the Krippner custom pumping auction that ends tonight at 7 o'clock. Just a small inventory reduction, but some really nice, well taken care of stuff. He does have a 8285R John Deere front wheel assist, but then he's got a nice 270 rotator, got a whole bunch of hose, a couple different carts, and some booster pumps and lots of different oil equipment.
Yeah, and that's big business, folks. I mean, here in Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, you can imagine our custom operators are critical valued partners with our dairy industry. And like you said, Ashley, there are pockets of these specialists across the United States. You're making it easy on them. They don't have to try to reach out to somebody else's directory or contact individuals. You got it all in one place.
No, absolutely. And, you know, in the manure pumping world, bigger is kind of the way everything's going. I remember when 6-inch hose was big, and now here we are selling a whole bunch of 10-inch hose. We rolled it all out, so taking pictures of all the members, everything's been measured, so we know the lengths on everything. Got some flow meters on that sale as well.
I almost started cracking up. When you think about it, folks, we're talking about manure handling equipment, and somebody on that Steffes Group had to make sure that every seal was correct and handle that equipment. Just think about that as a valuable part of your partnership. And like you said, Ashley, if you want to still get in on that, they can still do it. It closes tonight. But if you're still interested, you can log on and be a part of that right away this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. At any time, the bidding's open. It's all about when it closes, though. That's when we start seeing the big activity.
Yeah, Right. Now, don't forget, folks, as I mentioned before, and so has Ashley, they've just refreshed their website. So if you've previously been involved in maybe an auction or two, you might want to go back and double check that your credentials are all in place and just refresh that. That's steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com. Take a look there. Or if you've got questions or you need to have a little help, they're wonderful to talk to. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Wednesday morning. This past week was dry relative to previous weeks we've been experiencing, allowing for a productive week for our farmers. Field work included harvesting hay and small grains, and that's according to the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Corn silking was 40% complete, 5 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn in the dough stage reached 4% and condition rated 61% good to excellent, which is up 3 percentage points from last week. On the soybean side of things, blooming was 47%, 2 days behind last year and 4 days behind the average. 14% of soybeans were setting pods, and soybean condition was 60% good to excellent, which is up 4 percentage points from last week. The core production states, aka, you know, the I states, also saw some improvements in corn and soybeans, indicating a good harvest for this fall. That's according to market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says, now you've seen some of the best areas improve their crop conditions. As long as that weather continues, that's the biggest thing that we've got to watch. A little talk of heat coming in, drying out that first part of August, he thinks that was also a factor in the soybean market. As everybody says, the beans are made in August. You can hear our full conversation with him on our podcast at thefarmwi.com. Looking at some of our other markets, oats heading was 96%, winter wheat harvested for grain was 31% complete, and the second cutting of alfalfa hay was 78% complete. Well, moving now from the field to the trades, let's take a look at our markets. From Chicago, cash corn is trading at 401.5. That's down 2 cents. And new crop corn is trading at 416, and that is down 1.25 cents. Cash soybeans are trading at 1112, that's down 5.5 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 1068, and that is down 7.5 cents. And wheat is trading at 539.5, and that is down 3.25 cents. On the dairy side of things now, August Class 3 milk contract is trading at $20.39 a hundredweight. That is up 13 cents. And September milk is trading at $21.05 a hundredweight, and that is down a penny. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at $1.96. That was up 3.5 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed yesterday at $1.93. That was up 5.5 cents. And the AA butter had no change yesterday and closed at $3.07.5. Those are your morning markets on this Wednesday, July 24th. Be sure to stick around with us here on the Midwest Farm Report as we have more news on the way. And as always, if there's something you want to know more about, let us know by messaging our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. And if you hear something this morning that you want to learn more about or hear the full conversation, head to thefarmwi.com and download our podcast to stream all of our content. Stick around with me this morning as you'll never know what you'll learn next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a National Scenic Trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Mino and the Mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
The whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting, but
no, yeah. I know, but you know what I mean. Well, that's just the
okay.
But I say the accountant.
Todd
it's
would
like,
be
that
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side, okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'll take the
whatever. Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump likes to say he surrounds himself with all the best people. We'll get to know a few of those a little bit better. And Dr. Laura Hanks with public service announcement. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Well, the 2024 PDP Innovation and Technology Farm Tours offers a chance to see that new technology in action. And you can hear firsthand from the forward-thinking dairy producers working with them. The 2024 PDP Innovation and Technology Farm Tours are August 21st in Colby and August 22nd in Berlin. You can join dairy producers and industry professionals for conversations and behind-the-scenes tour with the latest in robotic milking activity and rumination monitors, barn and facility designs, sand separation facilities, and so much more. Head to our website at MidwestFarmReport.com to learn more. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter where you'll receive 5 agriculture news stories delivered to your inbox every day. And in other news, Farm Rescue, a nonprofit organization that provides free planting, haying, harvesting, commodity hauling, and livestock feeding assistance to farm families who have experienced a major illness, injury, or natural disaster, has officially added Wisconsin to its growing list of service states. Operations may have just begun in Wisconsin, but this program isn't new to the Midwest. Dan Erdman, Marketing Program Manager at Farm Rescue, shares how they've gotten to this point to be able to expand since their inception in 2005.
We have the necessary equipment, the volunteer workforce to come in and help, you know, during, you know, planting, haying, harvesting, livestock feeding assistance, whatever it may be, just to kind of get them, you know, through that crisis, hopefully short-term crisis, and on to the next season. And, you know, our major goal is to just allow those family operations to continue for future generations.
And how many farm families has Farm Rescue assisted with since its inception?
So Farm Rescue was founded in 2005, our very first year of operations. We're in North Dakota. It was planting assistance. We've continued to grow geographically with our resources, with volunteers, and we've helped over 1,100 farm families now since that very first one back in 2006. And with the addition of Wisconsin, we're now up to 9 states within our service footprint.
So speaking of that, what motivated you guys to expand Farm Rescue into Wisconsin?
We do work all across the Midwest. Like I said, it's 9 states. And early on, it was immediately apparent that, you know, this is not an isolated need. There are families dealing with unexpected injuries, illnesses, or natural disasters across the country. You know, so when we have the resources available and volunteers and funding to expand our mission, that's always been a major goal. And Wisconsin is another great, you know, agriculturally driven state. It works well within our current geographical footprint. And, you know, we're just honored to have the opportunity to offer our services to Wisconsin farm families in crisis.
So speaking of those services, I know you're going to start with kind of that initial harvest assistance here in Wisconsin. How is that going to be implemented and kind of rolled out in a sense now that these things did start as of July 1st here in Wisconsin?
We're kind of dipping our toe in the water here, starting with harvest, because we do offer a variety of other services too. You know, so we already have harvest equipment and volunteers at the ready to offer support to families in Wisconsin. So now we're just hoping to connect with families who are dealing with that major injury, illness, or natural disaster. We have a simple application process if you are a family who might benefit from our free harvest services. But, you know, we also rely heavily on referrals from spouses, relatives, friends, neighbors, people in the community who know of a family that's dealing with, you know, difficult circumstances, and can help us make that connection. Those referrals can be anonymous if needed, and we can reach out to the family to explain the process and see how we can best serve them in their time of need. So we have a pretty simple application process, and all this can be done directly through our website. It's farmrescue.org. If you are a family, again, simple application process. If it's a result of injury or illness, a lot of times we'll ask for a doctor's letter, just confirming that. A little further down the process, once approval is reached, it's coordinating on things like maps of the fields that we're going to be working and just being in contact with you to know exactly what it is you want done and how we can best do that for you. And it's always our goal to come in and do the work as you want it done. We're never going to, you know, have our volunteers come in and make recommendations on how, you know, we think something should be done. And that's really what's led to the longevity of Farm Rescue. We're pulling up on 20 years of service to families in times of crisis. And that's what it's always been about, is kind of working hand in hand with those families to do the best job possible for them. And I mentioned there's the application process. We have a board of directors like any nonprofit that reviews those, and very, very few are ever, you know, turned down for assistance, because I think it all goes back to the pride of farmers and ranchers. If they're reaching out to us, it's for good reason and a great need. And so and once approval is reached, like I said, that communication begins about, you know, when you need us there, what type of work, what crop, that sort of thing. But the referral side of things too, again, if you're listening, you know of a family, maybe someone in that family is dealing with an ongoing cancer battle. It doesn't have to be the main operator of the farm either, because with farm families, every single member is such an important cog in that greater machine of the family farming operation. So it's unexpected injuries. You know, we've seen a little bit of everything over the years, natural disasters especially. So Like I said, if you know of someone that needs support, please reach out to us. And we're never just going to show up at a farm and say, hey, your neighbor told us you needed help. It's getting that information about that family to reach out to them ourselves and explain the process and how it is that we can best serve them in their time of need. It's really always kind of been that, you know, it takes a village mentality and just making connections and letting people know who we are, that there's no ulterior motive to what we do. It's just we like to say we're neighbors helping neighbors. It's just that our neighbors come from a little bit further up the road.
Dan Erdman along with us. He's the marketing program manager at Farm Rescue. As they bring their services to Wisconsin, the organization looks forward to making a meaningful impact and ensuring the resilience of family farms for generations to come. Thanks so much for joining me on this Wednesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupe.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Han Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Push to scale up the use of regenerative agriculture practices next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
An Austin, Texas-based company called Veda is trying to accelerate the regenerative ag movement. CEO Michael Shoemaker says the company is trying to address farmer concerns about risk.
How do you introduce these sometimes very novel management practices on a farm in a way that doesn't put the farm at risk, that doesn't significantly jeopardize yield and profitability? You know, we can't expect every grower to take the level of risk that some of these early adopter innovator growers took. And so we decided to dedicate ourselves to this work of providing this agronomic support to growers in a way that's really tailored to optimize for their farm.
Shoemaker says many major types of regenerative ag practices have been shown to work.
We focus on core practices of things like cover crops and reduce or no-till have been used as an erosion control measure to a very large degree. But the benefits that can be generated from these kinds of practices, if implemented well, go well beyond that. And we think are really quantifiable in a way that can help growers systematically reduce costs.
Shoemaker was part of a recent webinar panel on regenerative ag adoption, and I'll be featuring a couple of farmers from that panel in the next 2 days. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Matt Gable, the general manager of the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay, and comedian Jake Snell joins me to discuss the upcoming Madison Comedy Week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabidada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden to address